Turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3, and we'll be beginning with verse 23. But we're going to talk about faith this morning. A lot of this part of the message will be about faith. But before faith came, we were kept in custody until the law, being shut up in the faith which was later to be revealed. Therefore, and let's just stop right there for a moment. Let me just ask you, where did faith come from? And that's pretty important. Where did faith come from? Where did it start? Did the concept or idea come out of the clear blue? Like, there's faith, and we kind of grab a hold of it. Where did faith come from? Is faith just a concept, or is it an idea? You might want to turn. Is that speaker go up a little bit louder, Bob? And so I want to kind of get this idea is, are we just talking about a concept, an idea, something that we just call faith? What is faith? And was faith invented by man? So in of course, in the text right here, he says, before faith came. And so we're going to start with that very, very concept. Now, I want to just kind of think about this. When we think about this, faith is the act of engaging belief, putting our full trust in something or someone that's not seen or something that hasn't happened yet. It's believing in a hope that you have not seen or experienced and confidently resting in it, waiting on the outcome of your faith. Now, that's a lengthy little comment there. I try to think it through, see how we could we explain faith. And I got two now, so in case these fall out, thank you, John. It's like hearing again. Okay, so we got to engage your faith. Now, what Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you is the hope of glory. It's hope. And hope and faith are kind of like Siamese twins in the Bible, is what we have. Romans 8:24 says, for in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For he who hopes for what he already sees. So if we see that what we hope for, the blessed hope Christ, then hope is no longer hope. Faith is no longer faith. There's a pastor that talks to Mrs. Limbach on a regular basis. And for the umpteenth time, Mrs. Limbach came to her pastor to tell him, I'm so scared. Frank says he's going to kill me if I continue to come to your church. And the pastor wearily replied, yes, yes, I will continue to pray for you, Miss Limbach. Just have faith. The Lord will watch over you. Oh, yes, he's kept me safe so far. Only what, Mrs. Limbach? Well, now he says, if I keep coming to your church, he's going to kill you. Well, now, said the pastor, perhaps it's time you check that church on the other side of town. That's not faith, but I'm just saying. Guys, we have to have faith. We have to engage our faith. The two key components of a believer is faith and the word. That is what we live by. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. So we have to have both those engaged to have faith. That is our main staple, guys, faith in the word of God. And it's so important that we know that. Now, here's what he says here. Before faith came. Now, faith was recognized. So faith came, I believe, by Abraham when he believed God, when God gave him the promise that your descendants will be many and your seed, which is Christ, the promise. So faith recognized. The first mention of faith in the Bible is Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 51. Moses broke faith with God. And how did he do that? The Lord told him to speak to the rock. They were all thirsty. They're going through. They've already had one experience with the rock and water. So the Lord said to Moses, don't hit the rock this time. I want you to speak to the rock. Water will come out, and you will just be able to give all Israel something to drink. Moses was mad at the people and smacked the rock twice. And it was right there at Meribah Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin. So what he did is he broke faith with his God. And that's the first mention of faith in the Bible. But was faith in existence prior to that? And I believe it really was, because we look, basically, if you look in Hebrews, And it tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, that Cain and Abel, that Abel by faith brought a better sacrifice to God, and basically it pleased God. So faith was engaged, and that's where we see the first act of faith in the Bible. It is exactly when Abel came and he brought the animal sacrifice. Cain brought the vegetable and the ground fruit, the fruit of the ground, that sacrifice. So we see faith is recognized, it's been recognized. The first person who used it again would be Abel. Now the first definition of faith is Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. And faith is what? The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. So we have the first mention, the first person who used really faith, exerted his faith, and really the first definition of it. So we kind of know that faith was recognized all throughout the Bible. So this is what he said, and before faith came. Now again, I believe this faith he's talking about is the Abrahamic faith, when Abraham believed and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Okay? Now till such time, notice too, that faith is mentioned just in Galatians chapter 3, 14 times. So there's something about the message of faith that Paul's trying to get across to us. But before faith came, what does it say? But we were kept in custody. Now, we were under the law. Basically, the law was keeping us in wraps. Custody, the word custody in your King James meant we're kept under guard. It really means in the Greek, protect by military guard, to preserve one for attainment of something. So we were kind of kept in guard, sort of like the, I guess you could say the new LT says it like this. We were placed under God by the law, or under guard by the law. We were kept in protective custody. Have you heard of the Federal Witness Program? When you rat on somebody or whatever, they protect you. Well, guys, we're sort of like in the God protection program. And we're in custody, but we are in bondage with that. Because the law does not give us liberty. It just points out where we were wrong. Now, some of you all know what being in custody is like. The law. It's strict sometimes, and it's very harsh. And again, the law has no out. It just shows us our faults. And so it's like a tutor. It's keeping us custody. And if we live by the law, we'll never be free. Your English Standard Version says that you're held captive by the law. The HCSB version says that you're confined by the law. And the ASV, the American Standard Version, says you're kept in ward or shut up unto faith. You're not open to faith by that time. So, the law, again, this is what it does. It brings penalties, not blessings. And we talked about that last week. The law points out where we have failed, but we can't make it right with God. The law, you could do all that you could do and being good, but the law or your man-made law or whatever you do to say, hey, God will accept me if. It's none of that. It's if you accept Jesus, the promise. So the law points out where we failed but can't make us right, and it's temporary. And the law was given 430 years after the promise. So some of you guys that are thinking this through, basically the law did not nullify the promise. We live by faith. Abraham discovered that being right with God was to believe him. How many of you believe in Jesus this morning? Okay, I hope you all can say that. If you're here and you don't, you're not, you know, well, I guess you might be in the right spot because you could hear the message of faith. Because that's where we put all of our faith, in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, as we talked about last week. Now, the law, guys, really is a moral compass. And if you will, every one of us have that. Romans 2:14 says this, for when the Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these not having the law are a law unto themselves. Meaning this, that those of us who don't know Jesus, okay, we're Gentiles, we're not Jews, most of us in here, unless you're of a Jewish persuasion. So basically, we have a moral compass, and that is like the law. It leads us and tells us what's right and what's wrong. When you do something before, or let's think about it. When you did something before you knew Christ and you felt kind of crummy about it, well, that was your moral compass. That was the Holy Spirit. Really, the Holy Spirit and the law are our two teachers that tutor us to God, really, basically, what it is. So we have this right and wrong meter. It's like, this is right and this is wrong, and it's built in every human being. But until that meter goes off and you say, this meter's going off all the time in my life and I can't seem to make it stop. I keep doing wrong things and I don't feel right about the way I'm living. Good, because then faith can engage. This is when the message of Jesus Christ, this is what Abraham believed, that the promise was to come. The promise of what? The seed. Who is the seed? Jesus Christ. We're in bondage whenever you violate your right and wrong meter. I mean, we're naturally born slaves to sin, but you become more and more in bondage the more and more you violate. And even as believers, you can violate that moral compass, and the Holy Spirit will convict you. And if you're sitting here this morning and you're saying, man, I am not living right. I know things aren't right with the Lord Jesus Christ and myself. But what is it? Well, your moral compass is going off. The Holy Spirit is convicting you. The Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit and the law are our tutors, are our teachers. Now, basically, I'm going to move down really quick, because if we're kept in custody to the law, being shut up to faith, which was later to be revealed. So faith has been recognized, but it's going to be revealed, and then we got to receive that faith. So we recognize that there is faith. It'll be revealed to us what faith is, the Abrahamic faith, which is the saving faith of the cross. And then we need to receive that. We can know all about faith, but until we receive it. So he says in verse 24, therefore the law has become a tutor to lead us to Christ, that we may be justified by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now the word tutor there is a Greek word, pedagogus. And pedagogus means just this. A pedagogus was a teacher or a servant slave in a wealthy person's house. And the children were being instructed by, you know, kind of private lessons. So the pedagogus would be the one responsible for making sure they either got taught, the children got taught in that home, the slave, the servant slave, or that they would teach them. The pedagogus was the one that would tutor them. And really, they were under the care of the pedagogus. Make sure if they went to school, they would make sure they would do their homework. And the pedagogus was the tutor of that family, a wealthy family. And really, they had a lot of responsibilities. So basically, they're under the care and the tutelage of a tutor called the pedagogus. Okay? And this is what the law is to us. It's a tutor. It's teaching us that God is good, God is just, God is perfect, and he demands perfection for the people that know him. So you have to be perfect to go to heaven. Oh, you're going, well, I can't do that. Well, you're right, you can't. Christ was perfect, and he imputes his righteousness. He lived a perfect life, died a perfect death, rose again on the third day, and ascended to the Father, and now, guys, we can live a perfect life. It doesn't mean we won't sin. It means that every time we mess up, we have someone that's perfect that we live in, that we go to, and we ask him to forgive us. And I'm so glad for that this morning. Guys, I hope these things, and faith needs to be engaged. I think faith, matter of fact, I think the Lord had said, he did say in Luke, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? I just heard on the news again, where another terrorist attack in London had happened at the bridge, and there are three separate locations. I don't know the whole details of it, but I thought, you know, the world is crazy right now. And we live in I don't want to be political here, but I'm just going to just cast this out. We live in a divided America. We have two Americas in America. We have the conservative America and the liberal America. Some of the conservatives are very conservative. Some of them are liberal. And I wish I had a light. But, you know, they go like this. The liberals and the conservatives sometimes are close together. But there are two sets of values in our nation, guys. It's no longer Democrat, Republican. You can kind of fuss over some policies. Guys, it's all moral. And the I'm not saying I'm Democrat or Republican, I'm conservative. I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in this book. And I believe this book sets it straight. And guys, that we are so different from America. Now, you guys are a peculiar people. And I look out every Sunday, I say, how peculiar? That's great. I love peculiar people. We are a peculiar people. We're different. And so basically the law has set, God's law has set a big boundary line. I don't do the things that I used to do. I don't want to practice what the world practices and the insanity of this world and the loose morals of this world. You can't even turn on the TV and a commercial will pop up and you're going, oh my goodness, you know, where did that come from? Just out of the clear blue. Guys, we're in trouble in America, and it's going to take faith. And when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? I pray that he does. And I pray that this message strikes a chord in your heart. The pedagogus is the one who helps us. We have, as the pedagogus, the Word of God. It's kind of like being incarcerated. I just put it this way. You know, you have an out date when you're incarcerated. Those of you who have been incarcerated know what I'm talking about. There's an out, and you know what your out date is now that we have being held custody to the law is the cross. 2,000 years ago was our out date, guys. We no longer are in bondage. Now, there's a good chance there for you to say amen. I'm just saying. I'm not trying to get all Pentecostal. I'm just saying that if you've got a chance to put it out there, do it. It's all right, because it's exciting. It's exciting what God's given us. We're saved, and we got an out date. So we're released. Our date was the cross. Our realization that we needed an out date and a release time is so important. With the responsibility given to us by God, we decided as free will moral agents, we would make a decision to accept the free gift of our out date. Our release of sin through repentance. God desires, it says in 1 Timothy 2:4, God desires all men to be saved. Peter tells us he wishes none to perish, but all come to repentance. Everyone in this planet has an out date, the cross. Everyone has a chance to come to Christ. The gospel is universal, and it's to all men. There are not a select few. I believe I'm a select few by... as I acted as a free will moral agent to accept Jesus. I had to accept the out date and repent from my sins. I know God gave me the strength to do it. I understand sovereignty and I understand man's free will. I understand both of them. But I do believe man has to make a decision. To make a decision to follow Jesus. God makes you make that decision. Well, yeah, but I have to make the decision to let God help me make the decision. I know it sounds crazy, but that's just the way it is. The way I see it in the Bible, now I'm not being dogmatic, but sort of am. Now, so we see it is not, and again, and when people are incarcerated, I tell them, it is not the walls or the bars that incarcerates them. It's not the prison, guys. It's sin that holds them captive. And I tell many guys that we minister in the jail, I say, hey, listen, it's not these bars. I'd rather be behind bars and know Jesus than be outside in the world and not know Christ, being in a greater bondage. That is such a greater bondage to not know Jesus, guys. Think about it. Being behind bars, you're still free. You talk to the guys like Watchman Nee and a lot of people that were really in torture for faith. William Branmer, what was his name? Anyway, it escapes me right now. But these guys who have been tortured for Christ, put in prison, they were free. They were free because they knew, and we are no longer in bondage. The tutor has taught us that we can't live a perfect life. We can't do it. And faith needs to be engaged. Now, we see also, let's move into verse that we are justified. Let's move 25. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under the tutor. We're no longer under the schoolmaster. Verse 26, for you are the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you have been baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. Now, we have been baptized into Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says that we have been baptized in the Holy, by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. So the Holy Spirit, our introduction to the Holy Spirit was this, that he baptized us into Jesus, into the body, and that was the Holy Spirit baptism. Not baptism in the Holy Spirit, but baptism by the Holy Spirit. And this is what exactly he's talking about. We were baptized in the body, into Christ, and have clothed yourselves with Christ. Romans 13:4 says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're baptized into Christ, and we must put him on. And how do you put Jesus on? Really simple. You read his word. You put on the mind of Christ. You ask God to live through you. You are putting on Christ. People don't want to see you, and they don't want to know your opinions. They just want to know if you're real, and you really love Jesus, and you really love them. That's what they want to know. Are you real? Do you really love Jesus, and do you really love them? Or do you talk about yourself? I talk about myself, it wears me out because I don't like myself. I love the Christ in me, but when I even tried to find myself, I didn't like it. Oh, man, that's nasty. We must lose ourselves in Christ. And he says here, we are baptized in Christ and we clothed ourselves with Christ. We put on Christ, Romans 13:4. And he says here that there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's offspring, heirs of the promise. Guys, there is no male or female, black or white, Hispanic or Jew. The lines are no longer there. No longer there. God is colorblind, and we have the same red blood in our blood cells. And we have brothers and sisters across the board. Back then, basically, women were a second-class citizen. And if you were a slave, you were a Roman slave, you were a third-class citizen. Jesus did more to liberate women than anybody. He liberated you gals to a point where God has blessed you and you have great prominent standing in the scriptures. You were the first ones there. You were the last ones at the cross and the first ones at the tomb. And I'm telling you, y'all have a great input. I love my wife's input into my life because she speaks truth to me and she loves me. And without her, I wouldn't know sometimes some of the things that may offend people. Tom, you shouldn't say that. Did you really say that from the pulpit? Yeah. Oh. And I have said things and I apologize. I don't mean to be harmful. I'm learning to filter myself. So. But faith now, let me just bring up the next one as we look at faith was always recognized, but now faith, we're looking at it, is revealed. Faith later to be revealed, verse 23, and we'll back up for a moment, okay? Says here that being shut up to the faith which later is to be revealed. Okay, Paul had the whole idea of faith because he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, that I decide to know nothing except Christ Jesus and him crucified. So we see faith is revealed through the cross. We see the cross. We have faith in the cross, and it's revealed. When Jesus died on the cross, he put the enemy at public displays that I whipped him. He's no longer an enemy. Although he is our enemy, he's no longer a foe that can take us down. And Paul says, I preach Christ and him crucified, I preached the cross. Before faith came, this is referring to, I believe, Abraham's believing God for the promise. Let me explain. Abraham had faith in the promised seed that was to come. Now faith, again, we're talking about 11:1, is the substance of things hoped for and the conviction or the evidence of things not seen. And we do believe that Jesus was crucified, according to Revelation 13:8, before the foundation of the world. So Jesus somehow, we don't know how that works because God lives outside time. Christ was crucified as the Lamb of God before even the world was made. So that is the substance that Abraham believed in. So we say, how did Abraham get saved? By just recognizing, believing that he's going to have a bunch of kids, a bunch of descendants, but he had faith in the promise. And the promise was the seed. And the seed was Jesus Christ. And there is the saving grace. So faith, I believe, was introduced or revealed when Abraham believed. And when we see faith in action, we see faith. He didn't know the cross or anything. I mean, the cross is the revealed topic of our faith. But so when we were in custody to the law, sin and death ruled. Romans 8:2. Then the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. In fact, 1 Corinthians 15:56 says this: the power of sin is the law. So the law has power. Sin has power over us because of the law, but we are liberated from the law. So I hope you're catching this. Saving faith came, and believe it or not, it was revealed to us in Genesis 15:5-6. Now you can turn there if you'd like. You don't have to. But you remember when the Lord said, hey, brought Abraham out and said, look at the stars, Abraham. See all those stars? You're going to have as many descendants as these stars. And so if you believe this, it'd be reckoned. It said it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Righteousness means you're right with God, means you're going to go to heaven when you die. You're saved. But the cross hasn't happened yet. And Jesus hasn't been born. So how could Abraham be saved? Because he believed in the promise, the seed, not the seeds, which is Jesus. Okay? Now, remember God took him out in Genesis 22:17-18. And he said, I'm going to greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. And in your seed... that means us, we're going to be saved. All the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Abraham's saving faith, and the Bible says the gospel was preached to him right here in Galatians. And what was the gospel? The believing in the promise, the believing in the seed. If you believe in Jesus Christ and you believe that he died on the cross for your sins and he rose again on the third day, you will be saved. And if you've done that, praise God. You're with a big old family here. I'm thankful for this family. So not only did he believe he'd have a lot of descendants, again, he believed that there was a seed. And that was reckoned to him as righteousness. Abraham, not knowing the Messiah's name, the Messiah's birthplace, not knowing his death on a cross, not knowing any of that, he believed the promised seed. Do you see how everything points to the cross? Do you see how everything points to Jesus? And that our faith has to be, and the substance is Christ. It has to be not just just faith. It's faith in something. What is your faith in this morning? What are you believing this morning that's going to bring you peace? A relationship. You know, some holistic foods. And I mean, all these things are good. But it's not going to be your holistic foods and all the vitamin supplements you eat and all that. It's not going to be in a relationship. It's not going to be meditating on your navel and going to your chakras and line them all up and just meditating and emptying your mind so there's nothing there. Good grief, I hate that. I want to put something in my mind. I don't know about you, but it didn't have all the right stuff in it, and I try to clean it out on a regular basis. But guys, where is your faith? And where is your rest? And what is it that you put your faith in? Galatians 3:8 said, Abraham had the gospel preached to him. Let me go back again. The gospel was that he believed the seed. He knew that it was coming. Part of the mystery of Christ or the gospel is that also that the Gentiles will come into the kingdom. So it's not only for the Jews. That just multiplies all of his descendants, that Jesus died for us. In Ephesians chapter 4 verses 8 and 9. Let me just read to you. No, we're going to... Yeah, I got the wrong... Oh, 3. Yeah, 3. 3, 4 through 6. And referring to this, when you read, you can't understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was made known to the sons of men. And as it now has been revealed to the holy apostles and to the prophets in the Spirit. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. So we are also, who were not promised any of the promises in the law, but God made that the mystery of Christ, like we're accepted now as Gentiles. Aren't you glad? In some ways, the Jews rejected Jesus because it gave us salvation. And the Lord's going to go back to the Jews and give them another chance. And they have to make, by their decision, I'm so glad for the sovereignty of God this morning. And I just want to tell you this, that I rest that I'm saved and I know that I'm saved and I know that I'm going to heaven. But I know I have to do some abiding, no work, just abiding. You don't see a fruit tree, like we got a pear tree, and we had a pear tree, and Jared and Heather have it now, in front of the house, and I've never seen that tree grunt, trying to bear fruit, oh my goodness, pop, there's a pear. It just abides, and that's all God's telling us to do. When we come to him, we rest, and we abide. I'm a shoe-in, I'm sealed until the day Christ calls me home. I get to be with him forever. There'll be no more sickness. We pray for people like, you know, Sarah and Marietta and Gator and Jim. And, you know, one day, though, we're not going to all be sick. But our body's going to give out one day. But I have the blessed hope camped in my heart. And I don't worry about having to fall off the wagon unless I just willfully say, God, I don't like you anymore. I hate you. You know, could you imagine doing that? But I do believe a man still has a will to be able to do that. It's hard to believe it could happen, but it can. But faith is an act of our will. I know God gives it to us, but I know we have to act upon it. It's confusing. It's kind of like you got the sovereignty of God and the free will of man. They kind of go together. And I'm so thankful, though, that he holds me and he sealed me until I'm signed, sealed, delivered, Jesus, I'm yours. So thankful for that. Abraham was saved by faith. Galatians 3:6 and Romans 4:3 says, Abraham believed and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you're saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, that no man should boast. The first part of the work is, for by grace, that's God's work, you're saved. By faith, that's man's acting out, and it's our responsibility. By grace, you are saved. God reaches out and saves you through faith in Christ. And what did they ask Jesus? They said, what must I do to do the works of God in John chapter 6? He said, the works of God is to believe. There's one work that you do and I do. One work, not to be saved. But he said, what must we do to inherit the kingdom? He said, you must believe. That's the work of God. One work. Are we saved by works? No. But Jesus said there was one work. And I want us to engage our faith. We got to have faith in the cross. And if God picked me before the foundations of the world, I know he did. But if he only picked me and didn't pick anybody else, then where would faith engage into a cross? And why would we need the cross? I understand all that. Please hear me. I'm just saying faith is so important for us to understand that we put our faith. You guys can walk. I've seen people walk away. I don't know if I've seen men just have a true encounter with God and walk with him for a number of years and then just walk away. It's like, how can a man who had been married 30, 40 years walk away from his wife and say, I don't love you anymore? I don't understand that. I just fall more and more in love with my wife. It just is be harder every year. I think some of you men know what I'm talking about. I just fall more and more in love with Jesus, and it's harder and harder to walk away from the goodness of God, isn't it? I mean, I've seen so many good things. I am blessed beyond belief, beyond measure. I'm a man that's blessed. And I want to be able to share that blessing. And that blessing is this. I believe by faith that the cross was for me. And I accept it. I accept that cross. Now, there are three kinds of faith the Bible talks about. Just real quick, just for your reference. There's saving faith, Romans 5:1, that we are justified by faith. And Ephesians 2:8 and 9, there's that saving faith that we have. We're all justified by faith. Okay? Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's living faith, which talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, that we walk by faith and not by sight. And again, the just shall live by faith. So there's like living faith. There is saving faith. There is living faith. Galatians 3:11 says the just shall live by faith. So my everyday walk is faith. I mean, when I get up in the morning, I go, okay, all right, Lord, by faith, I'm going to walk this out today. My everyday living, I walk by faith. I'm not asking for salvation again every morning, although I feel it for my body. Save my body, Lord. But I walk by faith on a daily. So that living faith that God gives us to walk it out every day. Amen? I mean, and then there is the gift of faith in 1 Corinthians 12:9, which many men have been blessed with. George Mueller is like one of my kind of my heroes in the faith. And George Mueller, basically, he believed God for all these massive orphanages in England, and just his legacy and his work still lives on, never asking anybody for money, but trusting God. He would never say his needs. I think we have people that are gifted in this body with the gift of faith. Now, I'm kind of getting there. It's getting better. I don't know if I'm gifted with it, but I'll hang around with you guys that have it. I do believe, I got to watch what I say, but I do believe God wants to give us this building, guys. Before I was going, man, if he gives us the money, we get a loan, we get to do all this. No, I think God wants to give us this building. And I believe by faith that he can. Anybody on board? Anybody got the faith, gift of faith? Say amen. Amen. Oh, you're good. Y'all do. My wife has the gift of faith. I don't know why we couldn't believe God for this building, because there's a neighborhood here that's dying and going to hell. Now, we're not the Savior, but we know the one that can save this neighborhood, right? And I want this neighborhood to come to know Jesus Christ. And I think that we can do it. I think we can do it more even on the avenue. We're not stopping at the avenue. That's our Jerusalem. We're just moving just a little bit out. But why not have faith, guys, that God can give us this building? I mean, it fits the bill. It works. People are looking at it to buy it. But God owns it. So he's going to give it to who he thinks he wants it to have. And if he owns a cattle on a thousand hill, I'd just say, Lord, get up off a few of those cattle. So we can have a few of them. Faith revealed, though, is continued. There are seven things that I kind of want to bring out. And you don't have to write these down as points, but 7 points about faith. Faith is defined. We've already talked about it, so they're going to overlap a little bit. In Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. Now, where does faith come from? We asked that early on. Is it a creation of man? Is it something that we say, well, faith really comes, and we look at it in Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. So, faith comes there. When I read the Bible, that's how I got, when someone said to me years ago, it clicked when I was a kid, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Boom. Oh, okay. And I would hear Bible verses when I was being brought up. It never made any sense until I became 21. Almost 22. And all that faith that engaged, I heard the word. Guys, when you tell your little ones the word of God and you teach them, you're giving them faith. And someone that has great faith is in direct proportion of their intake of the word. So you show me somebody that has great faith, and I'll show you somebody that's in the word, and it's in direct proportion of them being in the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and that's where it comes from, by the word of God. That's where it originated. Originated in the word of God. And then we are saved by faith, an act of our free will that allows us to receive salvation through Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful that he's given me the option to walk away from my old life. I am so thankful that he's given everyone that option. Not everybody's going to take it. Does God know that? Yeah. He's got foreknowledge. He lives outside time. How does that all work? I don't know, but it does. We're to live by faith. We're saved by faith. We live by faith. Again, overlapping the point, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. And what does faith do? Faith is pleasing to God. How many of you want to be pleasing to God this morning? I mean, do you want to say, oh, man, I want the Father to say, oh, that's my boy. When my son Jeremy would run touchdowns, I would go, Pat, stand up and go, you know, that's my boy. Just ran a touchdown. I was so proud of him. And God says, if you have faith, I'm so pleased. Because it says in Hebrews 11, the 11th chapter, 6th verse, for without faith it is impossible to please him. Because he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. It's impossible. You can't please God unless you have faith. So, see how important it is. So, you see how important that you make, when you get up in the morning, make a decision. I'm going to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. I'll be a 2 Corinthians 5, 7 believer. Number 6, without faith, we live in sin. Romans 14, 23 says, anything done outside of faith is sin. So that's kind of cut and dry. And it's like, well, if I'm not walking in faith, I'm walking in sin. But I didn't say it. I'm not trying to be legalistic here. But if I'm not walking in faith, I'm walking in sin. Doesn't mean you lost your salvation. It just means you're walking in sin. How many of you ever walked in sin and had a separation from God and it was terrible? Don't have to lift your hand because nobody's going to. Yeah, it's me. But we've all been there. Where we have not lived it out by faith, and we did something that we knew wasn't faith. In fact, we didn't even want to ask because we knew maybe God wouldn't honor it. So we didn't engage any faith. I want to please God, but without faith, we walk in sin. And then the 7th point is that there's the gift of faith we talked about. So we see this rundown of the faith. I'm kind of going up and down that speaker. Sorry about that. We need to get one of those things so I can have it right up on my mouth so I don't pull away. And then the last point I want to bring out is that faith received. So we see it's recognized, it's revealed, but it's revealed through Abraham pointing to the seed, but now we're going to see that we need to receive it. Galatians 3, 1 and 2. Again, I'm going to go back to the first of the chapter. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm sorry. Go back. I'm in Ephesians. Get back in Galatians. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? That was the revelation. That was the revealing of our faith. And the substance of our faith. In other words, our faith engaged when we had a substance. When you knew that the cross was for you and you knew that Jesus died on the cross for you, you had to engage your faith and then you recognized it. And you accepted that Jesus died on the cross. And this is what he's saying, you foolish Galatians, you've kind of went away from that. The simple faith in the cross. Verse 2, this is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And maybe this morning, the hearing of faith needs to be engaged. And I don't know where your walk is this morning, but I think it's a great thing to know that God wants to reintroduce to you the whole idea that your faith, you just make that decision, he'll undergird you and he will strengthen you. He'll do all the work. But you got to decide somehow, some way, I am going to engage in faith today. I'm going to walk it out. I want to be pleasing to God. I do not want to walk into sin. I want to be my Father's object of his loving care and Jesus' best friend and our Savior. John 14, 6 says Jesus made it clear. The receiving of Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one can come to the Father but through me. It was revealed in Scripture. You've heard it this morning. If you have made any other options or made any other works to find yourself to be good with God, and you're just working and you're not feeling like you're pleasing God, this morning let it go and rest in the cross. It's a sealed, done deal.